attention. He removed my two kids and my wife from my trailer up at 613 Mustang Acres. Now I had a whole bunch of time to think. And I'll tell you, I exchanged my wife and my two kids for a bottle of beer. Good exchange rate, right? No comparison. But this is what I did, because I was sin. I had sin in my heart, and I was partying, and that's the way I wanted to do it. I just wanted to party, party, party. And so God just removed my support system, I guess. And boy, I tell you, you know, I can deal with a broken wrist or a broken arm, right? That'd be easy. But when you got a broken spirit and you got something inside missing, oh, man, who can fix this pain, right? Who? You know, you can go to doctors. They can probably med you up and give you all kinds of meds, but you're just pushing that pain down. So I called upon Dr. Jesus. Dr. Jesus came into my life, forgave me of all my sins, changed my life completely. 3 months after that, my wife had left. She's bound and determined, and we ended up being divorced in the whole 9 years. But 3 months after I had become a Christian, God, the creator of the whole universe, spoke into my life, spoke to me, took time out of eternity to speak into my life. The love that God has for me and for you. And he said, Alvin, he says, I'm going to bring your wife back to you, Kathy, called her by name. And he was true to his word. But there was a lot of baggage inside this heart, a lot of baggage. I thought of ways how to kill her. I wanted to murder my wife. And I was going to do it really slow so that it'd be so painful because of the pain that I was going through. I didn't know I had that in me. I had murder, I had hatred, bitterness, jealousies, and all kinds of things. And I read the book of Daniel. I was reading the book of Daniel. God is sovereign over the nations of the world. Every man, woman, and child. The only reason why that you're alive today is because of him. He gives you the air to breathe. He causes your heart to beat. God is sovereign. Amen? So when I read that, and I realized that, I says, my gosh. So God could bring my wife back just like this. She's living in the Queen Charlotte Islands on the West Coast, Prince Rupert. He could bring her back all the way, right? He could. He's sovereign, and he could do that. So I started to think, okay, he can do that, but why isn't he doing it? Is it possible? Is it possible that I have something in my heart, God? God began to show me my heart. Like I said, I had murder in here. I had hatred. I had jealousy and all kinds of baggage in here. That had to be dealt with before he would bring her back. There's no way he's going to bring her back into a situation where I'm unrepentant. I haven't turned from my sins. I'm still living in my weaknesses and my sins. But God in his mercy began to show me things in my heart. I had a lot of time to think. 5 years. And I wish I could say I was faithful. But man, anything but faithful. I was anything but faithful to God. Lived for God for 6 months and just praising God. And then back into the world over here, the Windsor Hotel, just drinking up a storm. And then come back another 6 months later. Oh, God, I'm sorry. Serve God for another 6, 7, 8 months. And then back into the flesh again for about 5 years, just like a roller coaster. Many of you are living that lifestyle. But I want to tell you, hallelujah, God in his grace and his mercy, you know, I tell you, I ended up having another, I had a daughter. I got a daughter in Saskatoon. She's not from my wife. But God in his mercy, and I don't deserve to be standing before you today, but his mercy, God has poured down his mercy upon my life. And I'm so grateful to that. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, so me and my wife, we got back together in 1980. Got remarried December 7th, 1980, and it's going on 36 years. And we ended up having two more kids, two more boys. And the only reason why I'm standing here today is because of Jesus. The only reason why I have two kids is because of Jesus. The only reason why I have my wife back is because of Jesus. The only reason why I'm living where I am is because of Jesus. The only reason why I have a relationship with my in-laws is because of Jesus. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus all the way. Amen? It's all about Him. And when you turn your life over to Him, as I was sharing in the beginning, you turn your life over to Him. You give your life. You've tried to live this life. And these young folks here, I mean, they're just maybe 16, 17 years old. You know, I got my whole life ahead of me. You hear about what happened to these two kids in Calgary? Just took a little sleigh ride. A sleigh ride down into eternity. Right? 17 years. Gone. So we don't have the assurance of next week. We don't have the assurance to live to be 40, 50, 60 years old. Jesus says today is the day of salvation. Amen? Today you can accept Him into your life, confess that you're a sinner, confess your sins before the living God and say, God, I give you the rest of my life. Then you're going to be on the greatest journey this life can afford. It's by the Spirit of living God. Amen? Every one of you will stand before the living God and give an account. God will bring you back to this day. You've heard the gospel. Jesus Christ hung on the cross, hung there for your sins, paid your debt. Jesus, who knew no sin, experienced sin. He experienced hell on your behalf. He took your punishment, took my punishment. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, you tell me of someone else that has done that. No one else. It's Jesus Christ all the way. Hallelujah. All these other great men of God, supposedly, they come with great words of knowledge. But have they died? Have they gone to hell for you? Have they hung on a cross for you? Not a single one of them. And I tell you, when He raised Himself from the dead, hallelujah, and He's at the right hand of God the Father. Amen? Forevermore. Can't get any better than that. Right? Hallelujah. And what I have, billionaires would pay me billions of dollars for what I have. You can't buy it. You can't buy it. It's a free gift. It's a free gift given by the living God. If you just grab a hold of that sacrifice, what He's done for you. Amen? So I encourage us this morning. Jesus Christ, if you recognize that you're a sinner and recognize that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, He's the Savior, but is He your Savior? That's the thing. He's got to become your Savior. He's not, you know, yes, He is the Savior of the world, but He needs to become your Savior. And when you do that, when you invite Jesus Christ to come into your life and say, God, forgive me my sins, wash me with your blood, and I thank you for coming into my heart, I tell you, Jesus Christ, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, comes into your life and heart, and I tell you, He changes you, and sin shall not have dominion over you, the Bible says. If sin is having dominion over you, it's because of ignorance or deception. That's all it is, okay? Some of us, we don't read the Word. We're not a student of the Word of God, but I encourage you, read the Word of God. You prayed a simple prayer. Get into the Word. Amen? Study it. Find out your inheritance, what God has done on your behalf. And I'll tell you, there's people in here. God has called you to the mission field. There's people in here. He's called you to be prophets. There's people in here. He's called you to be pastors. Fivefold ministries right in here, right in this place. But the only way it's going to happen is if you give your life to Jesus Christ. It's the only way. It might be a great aspiration, a great dream. But I tell you, it can only be done by the Spirit of the living God. And as you give yourself, I'll tell you, God will take you on the best cruise ever. Amen? Hallelujah. It's the best. Amen? Brother Tola. Are you going to preach down here, brother? Or up there? Hey? Okay. I just want to say a prayer for my brother. Father God, you've put a word on my brother's heart. Lord God, you put a word on my brother's heart. And so, God, open up our hearts to hear from you this morning and help us to apply it to our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We can do better. Just say hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. God is good. Sincerely speaking, I had something else in mind to talk about. When I was studying the Bible yesterday in preparation, I was like, I will be talking about the Word of God and the name of God. They're separate topics, but they are kind of, you know, messages that really minister to my heart. But this morning, I don't know what happened. When I heard that brother gave that prophetic word, I had a shock in my spirit. I was scared. You may not believe him. I don't know how many people actually listen to that message, but to tell you the truth, I heard it. I want to tell you a story. It's going to be in form of a song. I love to sing. Don't mind my voice. So, it's a true life story of a brother back home in Nigeria. And I want you to just listen to it and search yourself. Just search yourself. Last night, I started sleeping. A dream came to me. I dreamt about the end of time, about eternity. And I saw millions of sinners fall on their faces to pray. The Savior sadly shook his head, and this is what he said. Sorry, I never knew you. Depart from me forevermore. Sorry, I never knew you. Go and serve the one that you served before. I knew the time had fully come when I must face the trial. And I told the Lord that I had been a Christian all the while. And through his book, God did then look, but he suddenly shook his head. He waved me over to his left, and this is what he said. Sorry, I never knew you, for I can't find no record of your birth. Sorry, I never knew you. Go and serve the one that you served on earth. There were my wife and children. I heard each one's voice. They must have been so happy. Indeed, they did rejoice. Each one with white robes around them and crowns upon their heads. My little girl looked down at me, and this is what she said. Daddy, we can't go with you, but we must dwell in the joy of our God. We're sorry, but we still love you. But you will never be our daddy anymore. When I'm from sleep, awoken with tears in my eyes, I looked around about me, but to my great surprise, there were my wife and children. Then I knew I had a dream. Then down beside my bed I fell and for mercy did pray. Father, who art in glory, in mercy, look on me today. Forgive me and let me serve you till your summer comes and take me away. I told you before that I have a crooked voice, so I hope you understand the message of the song. The Bible says many are called. Many are called. But very few will be chosen. Many are called, but just very few will be chosen. On the last day, when the trumpet shall sound, Pastor Alvin said something a few minutes ago. He said we're all going to stand before God, and we're going to give account of everything we have done on earth. Everything, irrespective of who you are and what you are, your accomplishment, whatever you own, however you have spent every second, however you, whatever you have spoken with your mouth, you will all give account. Are you actually ready to stand before God? Do you have something to say? If I ask now, how many people are born again? I'm very sure everybody will lift up their hands. But if you stand before God and God asks you, are you really born again? Can you answer that question and tell God confidently that I am? When God was teaching me this issue of many are called but few will be chosen, I was scared. I was scared for my life first, before I started thinking of my wife and my children. He called me one time and he said, look, you want to come to heaven? Go outside. See, the way we see God differs. Let me start with that. I'm sure what I'm saying now, some people may not believe it. When I was thinking about God, I see him as the way the Bible described him. He's somebody that was described in the Bible in the book of Revelation as somebody that's seated in heaven. And he has the whole world under his foot. You can imagine how great and mighty God will be if you can have the world as your footstool. And the Bible says his head went above the heavens, not the heaven. Above the heavens. He's a big God. But you know, as big as he is, he was still so strong enough to compress himself and dwell in the heart of men. So if I say something now that this is what I see about God, please don't say no. I may be very little. In fact, when they told me that I'm going to preach, I'm like, God, Moses said, you can't send me to King Pharaoh, you can't send me to the Israelite because I'm a stammerer. And I told God, I said, God, you can't ask me to speak in front of, they are spiritual people already. What will I tell them? I'm even half absent. And I could see God smiling that, you silly boy, come on, get out of here. You know, it's just, when I see God, what God shows me might just be his own back. Might. I'm not saying he did. But what I see might just be his hand. It probably his fingernails. And what you will see will probably be his back or somewhere else. It doesn't mean you're saying something wrong because I've not seen it. We serve a big God. We can't know everything about him now. Well, we will anyways. But to go back to the message, many are called, but very few are chosen. I told God, I said, God, I really want to live my life the way it is going to be lived in heaven. I want to see you. I want to serve you like a Christian, not like my wife serves you. She's a good spiritual person. I just decided that I want to serve God, not like my mother serves him, not like my father serves him, not like my pastor serves him. I want a unique way. I want God to deal with me, and show himself to me and help me to serve him the way he has designed me to serve him. I don't want to serve God the way everybody serves God. That is the only way that I can hear things and will not be moved. That is the only way I can see failure and be not be moved. That is the only way I can walk in the midst of troubling, like problems, and I will not be moved because I have my own personal interaction with my God and not with whatever anybody believes. I went outside and I looked at the sun. I was led in my spirit to do it. And I just lifted up my eyes and I was trying to look at the sun, but I couldn't look at it. And I'm like, God, what are you trying to tell me here? He said, look, I've given you guys my righteousness, no doubt. But you have to live to a standard where you will be able to behold my glory. He said, you can't look at the sun because it's very bright. I am brighter than the sun. Can you actually look at me when you see me? And I was scared. And I went back to my shell and I started praying, God, give me the strength to know you. Give me the power to serve you. Give me the power to know you, to identify you. Many are called, but few will be chosen. The Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The fact that we are born again doesn't mean we have the license to see God. Except a man be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You're not actually seeing God. You're only seeing the territory, the city where he lives, the domain of God. And many are called. God told me, he said, everybody in this world I created, and I have called everybody to serve me, but do you not few are very chosen? Very few actually accepted me as their Lord and personal Savior. Very few. And by the time I calculated the ratio, I did it myself. God didn't do it. When you say many and when you say few, the proportional ratio is probably going to be like 8 to 2. 2 is classified as few, and 8 is classified as many. So if we have 100% of souls that God has created, and only 20% actually believe in God, accepted Christ as his Lord, as their Lord and personal Savior, then it's very scary. There's so many people in the Bible that God called, and yet they still went back into the world. There's so many people that God called, and they ended up not entering into the promised land. Many are called, but few are choosing. That 20% that are few that God has chosen, he still told me that among these few that I have called and I have chosen, as the same thing still apply to them. Out of these 20%, many are still called, but few of them will still be chosen. And that is where the Bible says, except a man be born of spirit and of the water, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The book of Matthew chapter, I don't know, because I didn't prepare for that. It's in book of Matthew. Except a man, the first one is in John 3:16. The second one is probably going to be in John 3:17-18 or so. Except a man be born of the spirit and of the water, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The first one says, except a man be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. The second one says, except you are born of the spirit and of the water, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So that means there are levels. The first one, you have the capability to see the kingdom. The second one, you have the capability to enter into that kingdom. You're not just seeing it anymore. So many Christians are just sitting down looking at the kingdom. They're not really penetrating. They're not striving to enter into that kingdom. And that is why you have so many people are still moved by rumors. They're still moved by little things that can, bring us down. Except a man be born of the spirit and of the water, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. God told me, he said, out of that 20%, many are called and few are chosen. And he now said, I now did the ratio again. 20, okay, ratio 8 to 2. So that means about 8 people are the few ones, while the rest are the many. So 8 people are the few, while the rest are the many. On the last one, he said, among these 8 that you see, many are still called, and few will still be chosen. There's so many people that God has called into one ministry or the other that they have refused. When the Bible says you will give account of everything you have done on earth, these are the stages of account we're going to give. When I called you to give your life, did you give your life? When I called you into the ministry to go and do something for me, you're no longer a baby in the Christian. I want you to do something. I want to make use of you. There are so many people dying. I want to make use of you. Did you yield yourself? We will give account. And the Bible says, among these 8%, Many are still called, and few will still be chosen. And that is where I come about. Except you're pure in heart, you shall not see God. The purity of your heart gives you the enablement to see God. I know so many people hear from God. I know so many people see, will claim they see God. But believe me, I know, if you hear God, your life will never remain the same. I know it. If you hear God, if God talks to you, your life can never remain the same. The day Peter told Jesus said, "Who do you think I am?" And he said, "You are Jesus, the Son of the living God." He said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed it." That day, Peter's life never remains the same again. He became something else. Many are called, but few will be chosen. Except a man be pure in heart, he cannot see God. You cannot see God. So we have levels now. First, be born again and understand the kingdom of God. What is God about? It's just an introduction of who God is. It's not the certificate of eternity. You may think I'm saying heresies, but that is the way God has taught me. And that gives me the ability to look further than what people are looking at. The fact that you're born again, that's why you see so many born again Christians easily committing sin. Because it's just, you know, we're still human. We're not perfect. We're just human beings. We're just trying to understand who God is. We're just born again. But when you live further in your spiritual life, when you strive to attain a higher ground, when you strive to live by the Spirit of the Lord, the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of the Lord, they are classified as the sons and the daughters of God. When you grow to the extent where you get to your wardrobe, I've seen a man telling me that he wanted to wear his shirt. See, there are sins and there are sins. People believe when you commit adultery, when you steal, when you kill, that is when you have committed sin. I'm telling you, that is not your sin. Your sin is disobedience. Your sin is disobedience. What you see is just the consequence of your sin. The consequence. And that is why it is easy for God to forgive. God doesn't care about the consequence. He's more concerned about your disobedience. You disobeyed me. And that is why he gets mad at some people that you have disobeyed me. It's not the consequence of your sin. I mean, the fruit of the sin. No, it's not good. But at the same time, that's not it. I'm shouting. I'm sorry. So, many are called, but few are chosen. That 8%, when God told me, he said, "Look, even in this 8%, you still have many that are called and few that are chosen." There are people that has been committed to serve in the house of God. The Bible says every works of our hands on the last day, everything, you that you said you know how to sing, you that you said you know how to preach, you that you said you know how to do evangelism, you that you said you know how to do this and that, you are all going to be tried. Your works will go through fire And the moment fire consumes your works, you are gone. We may think God is not that brutal, but I tell you, when God is training, he's training. He's not a mediocre God. He's a God that has a standard. And he will not compromise his standard for anything, anybody. He loves us, no doubt about it. And I'm sure that is why he's striving so much to make sure that he puts us in line. He forgives. He changes stuff. But you know what? If at the end of the day, we refuse to listen, the Bible says, when your calamity shall come, I will stand back and I will laugh at you. That is God. That's who he is. He's a consuming fire. He's loving, he's nice, he's good, but at the same time, he's just like me and my kids. I love my kids to death. I love them. But you know what? When you disobey me, I will deal with you. I put my love aside, and I'll deal with you. After dealing with you, I'll draw you back again, and I'll play with you. That is it. The Bible says it's those that God loves that he chastises. So, God is God. Many are called, but few will be chosen. So, every walk will go through trials. But you now know the funniest thing about it. I'm sure there will be some people here, your concern is just that, oh my God, my works will be tried. Lucky you. There are people that are even in the downwards grade. They are not born again. They are not there yet. I was telling somebody, I told him, I said, look, the greatest thing I want is to just give my life and die. Phew. So that I can go to heaven. You know, you just repent, Father, have mercy on me, and blah, 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 and you die. Pia. That you have automatic visa, straight, heaven, that's it. But if you give your life and you're still here on earth, you're not safe. You're not safe. Actually, to tell you the truth, the moment you give your life, the Bible says Jesus is the word of God. He's the example we follow. The moment Jesus was born, and King Herod, or whatever his name is, Pharaoh, whoever, the moment he heard about Jesus' birth, he became worried. The moment you declare, I am born again, I'm not scaring getting born again, but it's the fact of life. People think because they are born again, problems are solved. Because they are born again, everything is going to be smooth. To tell you the truth, you have just attracted more problems to your life. Because the devil now sees that somebody has left. A criminal has escaped. We need to find that person. So he's not sending just only one demon after you. He's sending millions of demons to come after you. So you really have to make up your mind if truly you really want to be that born again. But the good side about it is, the Bible says if you have a faith that is as small as a mustard seed, you will move a mountain. So no matter how small you think you are in faith with God, when the enemy comes like a flood, the Spirit of God that dwells in you will lift you up, will lift a standard in you, and you will come above it. So being born again is not an automatic visa to heaven if you're still on earth. You have to work. I tell my children, I asked the twins, I said, look, what do you want to become? She said, I want to be a doctor. I look at the mother. She wants to be a doctor. And I'm like, okay, you know what it entails to be a doctor? Say, yeah. Okay. No more dolly game. you have to start preparing your mind as little as you are, but focus and have your heart towards what you want to be. You can't say, I want to be a doctor, and you finish high school, and you say you're done. You have to go to high school. You have to go to elementary school, high school, college, and you now go to medical school. Same thing with heaven. You have to be born again. You have to live by the Spirit and by the Word of God. You have to live a purified life. Then you will see, you will see God in heaven. If you're born again and you die, yes, you will get to heaven, no doubt. But the fact that you are born again and you're still on earth, you will go through a lot. A lot. Many are called, but very few will be chosen. Are you among the few that God is talking about? Are you actually ready for God? How do you react to things around you? I was somewhere back home in Nigeria. I worked for a company, Toyo Glass, and we were having lunch. And I went to take my lunch, and somebody behind me just came. You know, it was behind me. I don't care. It was behind me, so he jumped the queue, and he just jumped and went. And they were arguing behind me. I saw him. They were hugging behind me. No, you didn't come behind me. You didn't come before me. Yes, you did. No, you didn't. At the end of the day, they now threw the question at me. Was he there before? And I'm like, I don't think so. I didn't say yes, and I didn't say no, because I don't know who the guy is. I don't want him to beat me up. So I just said, I don't think so. And that's it. I got my food, and I went to sit down. As soon as I sat down and I closed my eyes to pray, the guy that asked me question was watching me. And the next thing he said, no wonder you're a believer. I'm like, why did you say that? I said, you did not want to tell a lie there. So that means if I had said, yes, he was, he will knew a lie. And my prayer when I was praying, trying to give thanks when I was about to eat, would have meant nothing to him. It would just be like, so you're a Christian and you just told a lie. The way we live our lives, are you sure that when the trumpet actually sound, you're really qualified to make heaven? I'm not here to judge. I can't judge because the same question is applicable to me. That message that brother said, repent from your sin. Maybe we need to look back into our lives and really ask ourselves, am I actually a believer of Christ and not just a follower of people? Why are you in this church? Are you here because of somebody? Or you're here because God directed your leg to actually be here? What are you doing for God? What are you doing for God? It's not just enough to be born again. It is not. Many are called, but few will be chosen. The Bible says, look, many people confess me with their mouth, but their heart is way far away from me. It is God that says it, not me. The heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Are you really for God? And if you have not given your life to Christ, just know that you're just like a slave in the kingdom of darkness. You're subject to your sorrow. You're subject to everything that you're going through. You can't by your own power get out of it. You can't by your own strength get out of it. But you need God in your life. You need the Spirit of God to touch you. You need the Spirit of God to strengthen you, to give you the strength to live above whatever you're going through. You need it. How many people still love me? Am I in trouble? Praise God. Because I'm getting scared now. This place is very quiet. I'm getting scared. We can live above everything. Many are called. To be a doctor, you have to really work hard. To be a man of God, you have to really work hard. It goes beyond just accepting or confessing. You have to act. Show me your faith, and I'll show you my faith and my works. It's not just my faith. I will show you I have that faith, and I'll show you I have the works that can prove it, that I have it. We have to live our lives for God. If you're not a Christian, I love challenges a lot. I used to be a boxer back home. So every time when I was young though, when I started getting old and they started beating me up, I had to leave. Every time there's competition, I'm always excited. It's not because I want to go and beat somebody up, but it's simply because it is a competition. It is fun. It's not the beating. We're just having fun, you know. If you beat me up, we'll laugh afterwards, and I'll tell you next time, let me beat you, please. And that's it. So it's just like that. It's just like that. We need to really work. We need to work as believers. We need to work. We need to make an advancement and let God know that. Let him be proud as he was proud with Abraham. Have you seen my son Abraham? Was it Abraham, sir? Job. Yes, Job. Thank you. See, I looked at your face. He said, have you seen my son Job? And he was proud of Abraham too. He was really proud of Abraham. That's why he had to change his name from Abram to Abraham. He promoted him to be father of many nations because he was proud of him. Can God really be proud of you? Shall we all rise up? Please. There's a song I love to sing. I may not be very good at it, but I just want us to confess God. Or before that, is there anybody in this congregation that you feel in your heart of heart, you feel you're not really where God wants you to be? You feel you're not doing what God wants you to do in your heart of heart. You know yourself. Or you feel you've not even believed in God. Can you just lift up your hands? You feel you don't even, you're not sure if you actually believe in God. Okay, let's do it like this. You're not sure if you actually believe in God. First, you're not sure if you actually believe in God. Can you lift up your hands if you're not sure if you actually believe in God? You're not sure? You believe in God? Are you sure you believe in God? Okay, because I saw you lift up your hands. That's why I say, how about you, buddy? Can you come outside, please? Is there somebody else, too, that you're not sure if you actually believe in God? You're not sure. You feel you're not confident enough about who God is. Can you kindly please just lift up your hands? Don't be scared. Praise God. God is real. Don't let anybody deceive you. God is real. God is real. And He loves you. I'm sure that's why He brought you here this morning. He loves you. And that's why He has surrounded you with people that actually are called by Him. You're a peculiar person in the sight of God. You're very peculiar. You're very peculiar. And if you can just give your life to Him, I promise you, you will never regret it. You will never regret it. It may not be easy. Some girls, you will see girls coming close very soon just to take you away from it. Girls will come around, hey, you look cute, just to send you, to distract you. But you have to have a focus and say, I believe in God and I want to serve God. And your life will change. And through you, lives will change. And you'll be happy that you're a child of God. Shall we all stretch our hands to Him and just pray for Him? Just pray for Him that God will use Him. That God will make Him what He has created Him for. That God will change His life. Father, thank you for your Son. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Do you want to believe in God now? You want to accept Him as your Lord and personal Savior? You've made up your mind to do that? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus, the Son, and give Him the glory. Great things He has done. The heaven rejoices over one soul that repents. Heaven rejoices over one soul. You're blessed, my brother. As you have received Christ into your life, I pray with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will be great in your life. He will establish his throne in your life. He will magnify himself in your life. He will exalt his throne in your life. In the name of Jesus, as you have accepted him today, his glory will go before you. His grace will be sufficient for you. His mercy will encompass you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you will not fall by the wayside. You will not die young. You will not be influenced by negative people. In the name of Jesus, upon your life, I plead the blood of Jesus. From the crown of your head, even to the sole of your feet, I put the mark of the Holy Ghost upon you, that every ungodly sin that sees you will flee. In the name of Jesus, God will use you. He will glorify his name in your life. In the name of Jesus. Who would like to be a friend to this, my brother? Who would like to nurture him? Who would like to lead him in the path of righteousness? Who would like to be responsible for him? Praise the Lord. I present to you, God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, my brother. Thank you.
How great is our God?
Oh, yeah. Thank you, my sister.
How great is his name?
Let's sing that song.
He's the only one.
Hallelujah.
Forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. And he said, I'll never leave you. Put your trust in me. How great is our God? How great is his name? He's the only one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. And he said, I'll never leave you. Just put your trust in me. How great is our God? How great is his name? He's the only one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. And he said, I'll never leave you. Put your trust in me. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve.
Cause you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, tormented, sick or lame. Cause the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, tormented, sick or lame. For the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Cause what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. All the angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve.
serve. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. All the angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve.
I just want to pray for this young man, Tegan. Amen? Took a lot of courage for him to come up here. A lot of courage. Amen? So, hallelujah. Lord God, I just pray for Tegan. Lord God, that the prayers of our brother Tola, hallelujah, will just be surrounded him, Lord God, throughout this whole week, throughout this month, throughout this year, throughout the rest of his life, in Jesus' mighty name, that he'll walk, Lord God, circumspectly before you, the true and the living God, Lord God, that you'll raise this young man up to become a mighty man of God, a mighty man of valor for your kingdom, for your glory. We're asking your blessing, Lord God, upon the food that we're about to receive. Bless it to these bodies' use in Jesus' mighty name. And may the God of peace, the caretaker of your soul, watch over you this week. And may he bring you back safely to this place or wherever you would attend next week. May you experience his grace. May you experience his protection. May you experience his love as you walk in obedience to him. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said amen. Bless you.